Mr. Perez. Well, good afternoon. My name's Carl View, and my wife and I have been here in Madrid for over 25 years, I believe. So, however, I hope everybody had an opportunity to take advantage of the Old Home Week. I don't know. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to get down there, but I hope everybody enjoyed it. Did anybody go? Something else.
Diane or Franklin with you.
I'm sorry?
Okay.
No, he just asked who, if we went to Old Home Days. I said you guys were here.
So you heard that.
Okay, let's open the worship with hymn number 367, Church in the Wildwood, and please don't ask me to sing. I'll mouth the words. I have a terrible voice. So somebody can start. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to freely worship you today. And thank you, Father, that your blessings and your touch will be on each and every one of us. And I thank you, Lord, that the words of my heart and my mouth will be pleasing in your sight. And thank you, Lord, once again for watching over each and every one of us, keeping us strong and true to the faith. And thank you, Lord, that you see fit to provide this safe sanctuary. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, hymns. Any choices?
Amazing Grace, 47.
Number 40, 47, Amazing Grace?
Yeah, first and last, please.
First.
What's the number again?
47?
487.
487.
487, I'm sorry.
487.
Somebody needs to start.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've hopeless days to sing God's praise. And when we first begun.
Yes.
289, Blessed Assurance.
289, Blessed Assurance.
Verses 1 and 3.
1
and 3.
Okay. Blessed Assurance,
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. Washing and waiting, looking above. Any other?
Four fifty-five,
My Country 'Tis of Thee.
First and fourth,
455, My Country 'Tis of Thee.
My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cried, from every mountainside, let freedom.
unity.
First and last, I like those.
Okay, 220, first and last?
Yep. Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all. Trust him when my fading day shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
That's good. I haven't heard that one before. Very good. Any others?
428, in the garden, all three verses, please.
All right, 428. Prayer requests. Yes.
Hi. I'd like to pray for everybody in this church. I would like to have some prayers for myself. I'm going to have a walk 3 days. Tomorrow, my husband will be gone a year. The next day, my middle boy will be gone 17 years. And the next day, my daddy will be gone 27 years. So I got a triple whammy coming up. So I need lots of prayers and love and guidance. Thank you, Naomi, for the book. I appreciate that.
I'd like to suggest that we pray for the older members of our community, and particularly members of the church who have been installed members and have passed on. Some are not able to come, so alive. I pray for them. And I'd like to also suggest that we pray for not just the older folks in our community, but the younger folks and the new life coming forward. May they be filled with the knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
And may we know our part.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my husband David, who will be having surgery a week from tomorrow for a lump that's behind his ear. We're hoping that to keep positive thoughts. And I'd also like to ask for prayers, which sounds odd, but it's for my 6-year-old yellow lab, Samantha, who has an abscess on her neck, and she's in the cone of shame. She's not happy.
I forgot to mention, ask for prayers for Reverend John Mitchell, former minister at St. Luke's Church in Farmington, and then he served, I believe, pretty close to 28 years at Zion Episcopal Church in Manchester, Vermont, and he died about a week ago, and his funeral was next Saturday in Manchester. And another former church leader, church I went to, a wonderful fellow named Larry Gibson, who died recently. He did an incredible job building up the church here at Houston from like 2,500 members to 8,000 members. Quite something. And he died recently.
Other prayers for Kate Dunham, whose husband Chuck Ware passed away a couple of weeks ago after a very long and horrible illness. But I just pray that she will feel loved and supported by her community to get her through what I know personally to be a very hard time.
Amen. And as you pray, I'd like to add my wife. She had a hammer toe amputated a couple of weeks ago, and she's on recovery though, so she's in good shape, but it is kind of an ordeal to go through, and she's still in a little bit of pain. Keep her in mind. Any others? Let's go to prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for I know you've heard every single request, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that it'll be exactly according to your will, and you touch each and every heart and each and every soul and bring to mind your love, joy, and peace that you pass on to family members, traveling members, and those that are need your touch right now, Lord, that are in a way that they sometimes don't understand, Lord, but watch over them and stand by them. And thank you, Lord, for watching over older members of the community as well as the younger members, and pray that the older ones see fit to pass on to the younger ones your love, your joy, and your peace. And thank you, Father, for watching over David, who's going to surgery, Lord. Touch him. Be with the doctors, nurses, aides, and technicians that will be involved. Be with them, and that their touch and words and actions will be yours. Thank you, Father, also for watching over little Samantha. And be with John Mitchell's family. Bring them peace. And thank you, Lord, for men like Gibson and a leader of a terrific church, Lord. Thank you for being with his congregation. And Lord, another final request, Lord, a couple of final requests, Lord. One is for Kate Dunham, Lord. She's going through a little hard time right now, Lord. Stand by her. Bring her peace. Watch over her. Guide and direct her. That she know that you're holding her hand. And thank you, Father, for watching over my wife, Anita. And continue the miraculous healing in her body. And thank you, Lord, once again for giving us all the opportunity to bring our requests before you. And we know that you hear each and every single one of them, and they will be handled exactly according to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we do the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on his face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Now the offering's in the back, right? Okay. Ready for the doxology, yes?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all of the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
Scripture reading, Psalm 51, verse 1 through 7, and Rufus.
This is Psalm 51, verses 1 through 7. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Here in the reading. Is that right? 27.
Thank you. Thank you, Rufus. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about the legacy that we may leave, and that has been left for us in some respects. So first of all, there's a very good definition, obviously, from the dictionary, and it goes like this. Legacy is a gift by will, especially of money or other personal property or something transmitted or received from an ancestor or a predecessor or from a past. And also it could be related to and associated with or carried over from earlier times. So I guess my question is, what is your legacy? I can remember my father, pretty much a man of few words, and he was a mechanic supervisor for a major airline, and even was involved in ensuring the transport planes got back and forth to Vietnam during the Vietnam War. And whenever he was home, I can remember him standing in the street waiting for us to get in the car. He was standing in his suit, and he was by no means a clothes horse, I tell you, but he, I can remember seeing him stand there waiting for us to get in the car to go to church. And when I started high school, he got permission to take me out of school, to take me back to New York, to Washington, and the East, basically pretty much the East Coast, to where I was born in New York, and also to see the legacy that our forefathers had left us in Washington, D.C. We went through all the monuments, lots of mementos from there, what our forefathers had actually left us. And the other thing that kind of that he left with me was the fact that while he was working at the airlines, a lot of the guys that worked for him and worked with him were what we would today call illegal aliens. I mean, a lot of them were deported people that had come to this country and seeking work, a lot from the Philippines, from South America. And my dad would even bring these people home for dinner at the house. So it kind of left with me a kind of a multicultural respect for these people, and it was a quite heartening to bring that to mind. But probably the most important thing he ever left for me was the fact that, well, the way we, in a house that we had in San Mateo, my bedroom was across from my parents' bedroom, and my brothers were kind of behind there, but at night, sometimes before I went to bed, I'd walk across the bedroom, and when my dad was home, I would go in to ask him questions, and sure enough, he was laying there in bed reading the Bible. It left such an impression on me that even today, I've never not done that. It's just, it was such a momentous thing to me. And it's, every time difficulties came up, I always think back to, my dad must have known something. He read the Bible at night, every single night that he was home. And that really made an impression on me. And so my suggestion, I guess, is to everybody, is that the example that we leave is very, very, very important. And one of the things that I would say that probably each and every one of us should do, especially in this time of all this multimedia and the social media that's on, is that we should sit down, write a note, why we're a Christian, how we became a Christian, what it means to be a Christian, and put it someplace where your family can see it and read it and find it, because when you're gone, you won't have a chance to talk to them again. So you need to leave a message some way, somehow, to your posterity. Either write a note, make a movie, do a video, do something, but leave a message as to what Christ has meant to you. It will make all the difference in the world. And one of the things that I would I'd like to read it when the Israelis or Israelis when the Israelites were trapped in Egypt, God made a way for them to get out. He gave them Moses, and as the very last thing he did to get rid of the Pharaoh's curse over them was he instituted the Passover, and he told Moses exactly what to do and what it meant that God had delivered his people from Israel, from the Egyptians. And one of the things that that Moses mentions, and that they ask Moses, hey, what happens? What happens when our children ask us, what the heck does this mean? What is this Passover all about? What is this, all this ritual, this meaning, this meal, what does this mean? And this is what he says. And this is from Exodus 26 and 27. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Then you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Very important to pass on why we do certain things. The other thing is in 1 John, there's a little message about children that I would like to read also. John 3:18 says this, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So pretty much we need to do leave an example some way, shape, or form, because it means everything. And that's kind of like a little segue into the second part of what I would like to talk about. Charles Spurgeon gave a talk in January of 1866 on Psalm 51. And in particular, verse 7, which says this, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And Spurgeon at that time promoted and described the wordless book. And the book used by Spurgeon in his sermon was just three pages. One first page was black. The second page was red, and the final page was white. And of these three pages of this little book, more people around the world, old, young, multicultural, whatever, have been brought to Christ, believe it or not, with this wordless book. And the Child Evangelism Association, or Fellowship, published the book with instructions on how to use it in 1939, and later on, a company in Nevada called Let the Little Children Come published a four-page format, which I'll show you in just a minute how that works. One thing about Spurgeon was that before he was 20 years old, he had preached over 200 sermons. And in fact, his sermons were so powerful that there was a lady that went shopping at the store to get butter, and when she picked it up, it was wrapped with one of his sermons, wrapped in one of the pages, and one page that she read converted her instantly to Christ. He's a very powerful man. In fact, most of today, there's probably more material written by him than any other Christian writer, living or dead. In his sermon on Psalm 51 that he wrote when he wrote it, or when he spoke it, he relates of how this old minister had this little book with three pages in it. The first was, like I said, was black. Second was red, and the third was white. And he said that the old minister would look at that book, and the black reminded him of the sin that he was in, that the awful nature of sin, the blackness. And when he got to the red page, it reminded him of the blood of Christ that washes away that sin. And the final page, the white page, is what happens when Christ's blood washes all that sin away, become whiter than snow. And Spurgeon really did talk quite a bit about the black page. He said that, well, the author of the Psalm, David, had a sin that was really egregious. I mean, if you know the story of how he took advantage of one of his general's wives while she wasn't, while she was alone, and he was at war. And you might remember the story, Hollywood made a big deal out of it. It was David and Bathsheba. At any rate, David really did a gross, gross sin, and had, so he wouldn't be found out, he had her husband killed. The next page that Spurgeon talked about was the red page, which signifies the blood of Jesus Christ, and that nothing could ever clean that black away except the blood of Christ. And then finally on the white page about, he was giving his talk during the winter of 1866, and there was white, beautiful white snow covered everything. And I know many of us back here have seen that very same thing, how neat it is to look outside. Everything is pure, clean, and white. And that's exactly what happens when Christ washes your sin away with his crimson blood. Now, the next thing I would like to do is pass out a little, this little book. If you don't mind, everything, by the way, is clean, so you don't have to worry about that.
Would you like me to do it?
That'd be great. Yeah, thank you. And these are little, take one of these little booklets. These are the ones that are printed by, published by the company in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Carl, I
Okay. It doesn't matter, it's the Word of God, right?
That's true.
Yeah, let me check if I can find it. Okay, now this little booklet, this little thing, I've got a larger version of it right here, that if you look at it, this the amazing thing about this, when I first found out about this little booklet, I don't know how many of you watch a lot of, my wife watches a lot of crime shows and a lot of weird prison shows on TV, and one of them is They Caught Me Abroad, or like I got put in jail out of state, or whatever it was. Anyway, these guys get put in some of these prisons in foreign countries that are absolutely abominable. I mean, it's the horror there. This little wordless book has saved many of those people. They don't speak English. They don't understand what's going on. They don't know why they're there. But let me go through this little book. You have it in your hands there that, if I can find my little notes, so I don't get all messed up. The first page, the green page, okay, Psalm 23:2 says this, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. That's how it starts out. If we flip to the next page, Romans 8:28, or 8:23, excuse me, says, but this wages of sin is death. And this is what it looks like, it's black. Turn the page to the next page, is red. And Leviticus 17:11 says that life is in the blood, but better yet, in Colossians 1:14 says this, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And if you turn to the next page, the white page, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. This is from Revelation 3:5. And the gold page, the next page, and the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, also Revelation. And flip it to the back page, which again is green, and remember again this, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will be washed away. Very simple little thing. This is something that you can pass on to anybody. They don't have to speak English, they don't have to even know how to read, and you can show how Jesus Christ is in this book. Four little pages takes up volumes of God's Word, all in four colors. Very simple. So the thing that Rufus just reminded me of too was the fact that, you know, even though you've got the wrong verse, got the wrong psalm read, you have to remember that God's Word never goes out of his mouth void. It never returns void, ever. Okay? Isaiah 55:11 tells us this, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth, it shall not come back void. And Hebrews 4:12, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is that God's word is like a two-edged sword, and it cuts through everything. And finally, and 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that God's word is given, the Bible itself, all scripture, is given by inspiration of God. And this little booklet here is so powerful, you'll be surprised what you can do with it. Just show it to your kids, show it to your family, show it to your friends. It's a simple way. They can read through the whole Bible in four little colorful books. And there's also, there's some more just some little hints on how to use that little booklet. You feel like walking around?
Sure. I'm good at it.
This is pretty much how you can use them, how to utilize a little book. And it's so important that we remember that our actions and our deeds are so valuable and so important. And you know, you don't see any U-Haul trucks following hearse or anything. So you gotta give that to. This is what's eternal. God's word is eternal and will never, ever, ever fail. And in light of that, we can turn to hymn number 4. Hymn number 453.
Yes.
Verses 1 and 4. Here again, somebody's got to start.
My eyes have seen the glory of the
coming of the Lord.
He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory,
Father, thank you, Lord, once again for giving us a chance to look at your word, that we might keep it strong in our hearts. And Lord, we know that your face and your love will shine upon us, bless us, and keep us in peace, Lord. And thank you for guiding and directing us as we go forth today and touch others. They'll see and feel you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Two. going to be all windy today.
And we're supposed to get all that wind, all that come in.
Yeah, they keep lowering, down. We're going to get you some rain.
Wicks are just the right height.
I didn't want to use my hand because of the money.
I don't want to run out of money, right?
That's right.
Make sure we have enough, more than enough.
I'm just, wait, I'm going to turn off the lamp.
Can you get up there?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
We'll get her.